and a sure success. All for one.
It is now hour and number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. The clean, green New Zealand, where the water drinking, where the drinking water standards allow 1,000 times more Roundup than they do in European drinking water standards. You've got to love this place, man.
Yeah, what's not to love? Poison water.
Hey, I mean, it's just deformities.
Right, yes. Nice thing to have in your family, you know?
Oh, yeah, it builds character, you know? Hard enough. Right. I know you've only got one arm, but frick. Man, that was really cold.
Yes, it was. But just like you say, you have to make things into a joke sometimes. But you know,
I found that this also gives me a convenient out, is because if I ever say anything that actually gets interpreted as really nasty or horrible or whatever, I could just say I was joking.
Right. Well, right now, I mean, in Canada, the Liberals they put Pierre Elliott Trudeau's son, Justin Trudeau, he's looking to be the next leader of Canada, of course, and he's spouting all of this nonsense about how he's going to legalize and do all of these wonderful things. And, of course, me, I don't believe a word of it, because 10 years ago, it was the Liberals that I went to in the first place, you know, the Liberal Federal Ministers of Health. So I think the song that Mr. Trudeau is singing right now is actually just more about controls and regulations. And actually, next April, I believe it is, all the medical licenses in Canada are going to be withdrawn. So people can't grow their own.
Do you appreciate the irony that Trudeau tells a lot of lies, though?
Well, I don't think he's much different than his father, and his father never did nothing for Canada either, and I don't believe that Justin Trudeau will be any different.
It'd be better to have frickin' Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake than Trudeau.
Well, the only thing I can say about Justin Trudeau is he might be a bit better than that idiot that's leading Canada right now, Stephen Harper.
Yeah. I think a lot of people really be upset with the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. It's been quite funny to see all the Canadians get up in arms about it. Because when you're in a Commonwealth country, you understand that you're part of the Queen's realm, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, it's something strange about the Commonwealth is that the only thing that's common is that we all hate our Prime Minister.
Right. Well, I mean, Australia is really no different. There was a speech here a while ago. I laughed when I seen it on the internet. The Australian Prime Minister gave a speech. And a month before, the Canadian Prime Minister had given the same speech.
You know, the exact word for word. Yeah. I remember seeing that.
Yes, you know, I mean, ridiculous for God's sakes. But I'm hoping one of these days, I know very well that we can all live with the Queen. It would be kind of nice, you know, if we got back to reality and said goodbye to royalty and all this other nonsense. They're just people, the same as we are.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about this. What's the logic here? Okay, you're the Queen. Okay, I'm the Queen. How did you become the Queen? Well, my father was king. And what about his father? Well, he was king too. Well, let's trace it back to the beginning. How did the first king start? Well, he killed everybody else who was planning to try and rule people or lead anybody. And then said that he was king, and anybody who said different got killed.
Right.
So does that mean you're a hereditary dictator? Yes, it does. Okay, so why are we paying our taxes to hereditary dictators? Why have they got sweeping powers to dissolve parliament? You know, I mean, right. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind dissolving parliament, except I wouldn't use an act or a law or something. I'd use sulfuric acid, but the
I would too. That's a great idea. Just spray them like bugs.
I mean, you know, you got all those people on the side of the road with the little pump action spray gun, spray things that they spray the weeds with and everything like that. You know, just walk up to part of them.
Well, I mean, you know, when you look today at, you know, all of what the big money is doing, you know, all this chemtrails, my God, it's all over Canada and here in Europe. Last year here in Zagreb, the sky was just crisscross. It was just like a checkerboard. You know, it's just like people, they won't look up. You know, look what they're doing to us, for God's sakes. You know, and what's in there? You know, the barium and aluminum sulfate and all this other trash. What right do they have? I mean, they're crop dusting the human race, for God's sakes. You know, and no one has that right. And then I looked into it a bit deeper, and from what I understand, guess who's behind it? Would it surprise you if I said the Rothschilds and their banker friends? They're the ones that are causing this.
Well, can I ask you, can you tell me one instance of scumbaggery that affects an entire country or the globe that wasn't involved in some way, the Rothschilds?
Well, yes, that's a very strong point, brother, because they've been running the show now for around 200 years, and that's truly sickening, you know, that one family is in control of over half the money on the planet. And on top of that, the Queen herself, as I understand it, the royal family is worth something like $17 trillion.
They still maintain the land and mineral rights to every country in the Commonwealth. So you can buy the topsoil, you know, and buy a bit of land and put your house on it or whatever. But if the Queen decides that they want the oil that's underneath you, you don't have any rights of ownership at all because they own everything.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Whenever I'm on a piece of land, I would love to see Prince Charles come and try to take it away from me.
They never do anything themselves, though. Have you noticed that? They've always got these lackeys. I remember seeing a thing on the internet. It was like they had a list of all of these different servants that the royals have, and it's something along the lines of well over 100 servants. Right, this is only a handful of people living in these palaces, and they've got like 100 servants, including the groomer of the stall, whose job it is.
I know about that one. You're the royal ass wiper.
I mean, talk about a crap job.
Oh yes, I don't think I'd want that one.
There is no necessity.
Well, you'd think the people would catch on. I know I was doing an interview in England here quite a while ago, and I told them before, you know, just as the interview started, I said there's probably going to be a lot of people in England that are not going to be too pleased with what I'm about to say. And so the announcer, he said, well, you know, what is it that you're going to say? And I said, I think they should take the royal family out into the middle of the Atlantic and keel haul them all. And he started laughing, and he said, you know, Rick, he said, 10 years ago, if you had made that statement, he said, yes, people would have hated you. But he said, almost everyone in England now would agree with that statement. So the times, they are changing, brother.
Come gather around people wherever you roam and don't criticize because you're about to go home. The problem is, I think, people don't have the courage of their convictions, you know? Everybody's willing to say, you know, that's cool, let's get rid of the royals. To say something is very, very different from doing something, much like it's very different to know the path and walk the path.
Well, that's the same with all of these patients that I've seen. You know, everyone that come to me, they all said the same thing. You know, if this medicine works, I'm going to tell the world. You know, 3 months later, they're cured of their terminal cancer or whatever, and they don't say a word. There's only about maybe 1 in 10 people that will actually open up about the subject. The rest of them are just like the sheeple they've always been. They go back in the corner and they hide. And that's what's wrong. You know, if everyone who had used this oil would just get up and tell the world what it did for them, you know, we could end this so much more quickly. Like we said, people are sheeple.
Yeah, and we have an education system, a government, and 100 years of social engineering to blame for this, I believe. Mm-hmm. We have mass media misinforming people. We have a people have become dumbed down. I think that's actually really, really the two cruxes of the issue. Lack of personal responsibility and self-reliance so that everybody becomes dependent,
right,
and a lack of critical thinking. The ability to think for oneself and the ability to take care of oneself are the two things that have been virtually eliminated.
Quite true. You know, but I think it has a lot to do with all that fluoride we use to prevent tooth decay.
Yeah. See, I wanted to swallowing fluoride is foolish. It's like me saying I need a haircut, so I'm going to swallow scissors.
That's a good analogy, bro. That's an excellent analogy.
You know, it only works topically, bro.
Right. But it's scary, you know, today, because you see that the fluoride is in everything, you know. And I go back to Canada, and I honestly, when I was in Europe, I lost quite a bit of weight when I was here, and I think it was basically due to the much better food supply, because as soon as I went back to Canada, in no time, I started swelling up again. Of course, I didn't have any oil, and, you know, the toxins in the food there, and the GMOs, you're just surrounded by it, you know. And unfortunately, in Canada, this is another thing I love about Europe. There's so many people here that still grow their gardens just like they did 100 or 200 years ago. In Canada, I don't know where the hell you'd find a garden now. You know, they all just go to the grocery store. I mean, people don't grow their own food. You know, they put the responsibility for their lives in the hands of others. And that's about the dumbest thing you can do.
Yeah. Imagine one day, power's off.
Mm-hmm.
Just the power cut being cut off. Nothing more.
Right. That's all
That's
it takes.
The only thing. Everybody's dead. All right?
Yep.
They won't be able to feed themselves. They won't be able to get water. They won't be able to watch TV, turn on lights. They won't be able to heat themselves. They won't be able to keep themselves cool in the summer. You can't do nothing without power. And this became very obvious to me and my mate Dan the other day when we had a big power outage in our area. About 43,000 homes got affected. It was like a quarter of the city, Virg. Well, not a quarter of the city. There's like a million, 1.4 million people in the city. It's actually quite a small amount. But, you know, virtually as far as the eye could see, it's just darkness, blackness. And what's funny is that you get so used to having all of these conveniences that once they're taken away, it actually takes a while to kick in that there's not there anymore. You know, it's like, man, it's real dark in here. And you try to flip on the, oh, that's right, there's no freaking light. Man, I'm really hungry. Let's cook some dinner. Oh, we can't because there's no electricity. Damn. Man, I really want a coffee. Let's boil some water. We don't have any electricity to boil.
But, yeah, I mean, look at the stupid things we do, Vinny. I mean, you know, we put all our eggs in one basket, for God's sakes. You know, this computerized world, everything runs on a microchip now. Well, what happens to all those microchips if we have an electromagnetic pulse? Mm. Everything stops. You know, so, I mean, people are not prepared for, you know, for the disasters that could happen in the near future. And, I mean, I think every home should have kerosene lamps, a food supply, you know, and a way you can survive. But people just trust the system. You know, if anything happens, our government will save us. No, they won't. It's that simple.
They will save themselves. And
yes,
themselves only. It's called the Continuity of Government Program. It has been exposed. The documents have been released, declassified. They don't give a frack about you. They don't give a frack about democratic rights, even though I don't really believe in democracy. It's just, you know, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. But,
right.
And it occurs to me that it only exists, government only exists, because people believe its lies. As soon as people stop believing lies, once the truth comes out, the people being dumbed down stops. The people being dependent stops.
Right.
Just stop believing lies. And the best way to stop believing lies is if you're constantly telling the truth, you know?
Right.
You know, I mean, I was watching this great movie called The Tale of Despero. It's about a little mouse, a very brave little mouse. And he's obsessed with being a knight. To follow the knight's code of courage, honor, and truth.
Yep.
And I thought, that's actually a good trinity to live by, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
We seem to have lost that, and it needs to be brought back.
Definitely. Yes, I would have to agree with that one, brother. Well, I think the human race has actually lost their identity. You know, we don't even know what it is to be a human anymore. But in the future, you know, I can see the handwriting on the wall now, the American monetary collapse. That's bound to happen. The EU is not much better off with their euro. You know, these monetary systems are just a fraud. They're just paper, and it's not based on anything. But I think there's going, you know, like when it all collapses, there's going to be a great number of people suddenly wake up and realize, well, my money is worthless. Now, what do I do? You know, and on top of that, I think that the road, no matter what happens now, the road leads back to cannabis. Because with the honeybee going extinct, that's going to have a devastating effect on the farm crops. And where do you turn? Well, what's the greatest food supply on earth? You know, with the cannabis seeds, if you have cannabis seeds, you're never going to starve to death, and you don't need honeybees to grow cannabis. All you need is the males and a little bit of wind to pollinate the females.
Oh, yeah, it works. And what I found interesting as well with hemp, a couple of people tried this. They tried growing some cannabis inside a hemp field, you know, high THC cannabis inside a low THC hemp field.
Right.
And they cross-pollinated and turned them all to hemp.
Oh, God, yes, it would.
And they were like, damn, I was going to smoke that weed, man.
If you're going to grow weed,
I'm on disability, man.
Put it in with the corn, not in with the industrial hemp.
Yeah. Well, corn is a breed of grass.
Yeah. But, you know, like today is, I'm getting emails, like so many emails now. They're just pouring in from, you know, all over the planet. And, you know, and it's a wonderful feeling knowing that, you know, something that you started is having such a dramatic impact, you know, on our planet and everybody on this planet. And so it really gives me a good, you know, a warm feeling in my heart to know that, you know, something good is happening.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Rick Simpson.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. That are you on? I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back.
My heart goes boom, boom, boom.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that knows what side it is on the side of truth, justice, and freedom. It's all very well fighting for the survival of the human race, but if you're not fighting for the survival of a free human race, what the hell is the point in surviving at all?
You're quite right, brother. You know, I mean, people are always asking me, Vinny, you know, like, well, what can we do? We, you know, we have no power. You know, I always tell people, I said, look, you've got all the power in the world. Just unite. You know, what would happen this coming weekend if everybody in Australia didn't drive their cars? Do you think the gas companies might take notice? The same goes for the food industry. You know, go and start growing your own gardens. Put a dent in, you know, in this evil monster. And, you know, like if they would just stand together, they could empower themselves because they truly are the power. Mm. But as long as you're going to leave it in the hands of these idiot governments, well, you're never going to know freedom or anything else. All you're going to know is death and destruction.
Yeah, and I found that you don't even necessarily need to stand together in order to make huge righteous chains. You just need to not back the frack down. And and this is something we were talking about over the break when I have arguments with people online, when I know that they're wrong and I have the evidence that I'm correct and I know for a fact that they're lying and that they don't have any evidence, what do they do, Rick? They frickin' back down and walk away and pretend that it didn't happen. But they don't do it instantly. They only do it once they realize that their lies, misinterpretations, and fallacious arguments ain't frickin' working.
Well, it's high time that they all realized. I mean, this is a time of enlightenment. It is a time that so many truths are coming out. And to stand in the way of these truths, I mean, you're putting yourself, I look at it as putting yourself in harm's way. You know, when the public realizes that you've caused all of this, you're part of what's causing all this damage, I don't think they're going to be too pleased with you.
Well, I don't like that approach, actually, Rick. Let me explain. South Africa, when they were trying to get rid of apartheid, for example, the black population were doing things like blowing up power pylons or acts of actual literal terrorism.
Right.
And what the white government was really afraid of, and the reason why they were perfectly happy to shoot black people who were running away in Soweto, shoot them in the back and what have you, is because they were afraid, deathly afraid, that if they admitted what they had done to people was wrong and gave them the power to determine their own future that they deserved, that they would have vengeance visited upon them by the black population.
Yes.
Then Nelson Mandela comes out after spending his time in Robben Island, explains to the white leaders, look, we're not going to have any reprisals. We're not going to rape your women or burn your homes or anything like that. We're going to let you have all the same rights that you should have given us the whole time. And we're going to respect those rights precisely the same way that you haven't been doing to us, to show that we're the better person. And more to the point, if we did keep telling you that we're going to give reprisals, you'd never let us have our power, would you?
Quite true. Quite true.
Uh-huh. Same thing happened in Ireland. And I feel the elite, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, everything like that, I say we offer them amnesty. Hand over the reins of power quietly, peacefully, honestly.
Right.
And you can live in your big fancy mansions for the rest of your life in peace and stop killing people.
Well, that's more or less what I've said right along, and actually in my books and things. You know, like, basically, I'm not saying that we should take these people and kill them or anything.
I'm just afraid of reprisals and that kind of thing for uneducated people who don't know what the human condition really is capable of.
Right. But, you know, but we could cushion what's coming. You know, instead of having financial collapses, if we would just take these families, these mega-rich families, take them into a common law court, and make them admit their guilt, then, I mean, it's not about, to me, like, don't put them in jail. Like you said, let them go home, let them live out their lives, but take the money and resources, these vast amounts of money, from them and put them in the hands of people we can trust. Like a world council that, you know, would distribute the money all over the planet and help people in every country and convert all of these industries we have today that are harming our planet. I mean, we could convert these industries over into hemp-based industries, and nobody has to lose their job. You know, life could just go on, except all of a sudden we would have a hemp-based economy, and it would make perfect sense.
Yeah, I think so. I wondered what would happen. Let's say you confiscated all money the elite have stolen off the world, i.e. all money in the world, and then distributed it equally. Right. Let's say everybody gets given $1 million. Every African, every Indian, every Chinaman, every New Zealander, every Canadian, every person from the UK, the USA, and anybody from Mexico that calls each other SA. You know what I'm saying? If we're capable of doing that, you could imagine suddenly everybody's on the rich list.
Why not?
I don't think it would work, though, because what would happen is, and this happens very often when people win the lottery and they don't have any financial management skills,
right?
They're back in poverty within a few years.
Sometimes within a few months. Yeah, I mean, handling money is not something that everyone can do.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Especially
I don't really...
God. Especially God, you know, is all powerful, all knowing, created the earth and the universe, but just can't handle money.
Right.
And he always needs more.
Well, this is the reason I say we should be represented by people that we can put our trust in. Everything done with open book policy to the public, nothing hidden, and then we know what they're doing with this money and these resources. And you know, and like I said, if they would go about this in the proper way, we could literally save this planet, and we could give the human race a future, a good future.
Yeah, and not a future where everything's rigidly controlled and what have you, but a future where these nasty corporations that more or less just pollute and destroy everything.
Yes.
Monsanto, U.S. Standard Oil, Johnson & Johnson, GlaxoSmithKline, the World Bank, IMF, so on, Chase Manhattan, so on and so forth. You know, there's no actual practical benefit in having these institutions even exist anymore. No practical benefit. Because they, although they do currently provide services that people need and use, they're not providing them in an honest way that allows for real competition. What they're doing is they're actually using their power and control and monopolistic ability to wipe out competition and to destroy the quality of even their own service in the process. So if you eliminate that process itself, allow competitive spirits and the ability of people to enter the marketplace using their own ideas. Basically, the United States really thrived on this very libertarian idea. No freaking income tax. Right. If you need a school built in your area, a whole bunch of people have, oh my God, they've got spare money because they don't have income tax. And they're actually able to donate and build the freaking school to educate their own children and take personal responsibility for the community around them. What a freaking novel idea!
Well, it's, you know, so many, you know, when I talk to people, I love to go in to these universities and things and, you know, and reach to the young people because they are the future. And, you know, when you wake them up, well, the effect seems like here in Croatia, like last year when I spoke at the university in Zagreb, man, I'm telling you, it woke a lot of people up. You know, and they go home and they tell their parents about all this, and more people are investigating it. And I mean, that's the way the world changes. But we have to realize that, you know, if we just look at our history, like I said, we've never done a damn thing right. You know, we've always been misrepresented. So, you know, why can't we come up with something better? My God, I mean, if a man like me with a grade 8 education could see a better future, surely these young college students could see something maybe even better.
Yeah, which is why the United Nations is now infecting the entire global public schooling system to propagandize them. Because once you control the education level of an entire generation, you will control the command structure of the next generation.
Right. And, you know, and like we've said before, you know, history is written by the victors, and it's always the big money that's always behind. You know, they give us their take on history, and we accept it. You know, I think that all school curriculums, at least half of what they're teaching children in schools, should be actually thrown in a garbage can.
They're more appropriately termed in curriculums.
In curriculums, yes.
Because there's nothing correct about them.
Quite so, brother. You know, two teachers from Montreal contacted me, and one of them had cancer, and they were very interested in this. And, you know, they'd been teachers all their lives. And we had quite a laugh because we were sitting there, and I told them, I said, now this is kind of strange. I said, now here you are, two school teachers being educated taking an education from a guy with a grade 8 education. So they got quite a laugh out of it, but they were just in touch with me again today, and they're having great results. So it's like I said, it's just about waking them up. You know, one person at a time, you heal one person at a time, and, you know, all their friends know the truth, and it just keeps spreading.
Yeah, and this is what I was talking about not backing down. Because if you've got the truth, if you've got the facts, and you don't back down, I can assure you, every single argument that I've had with people of that nature who are just full of BS, they always leave the conversation first. I have never, ever left a thread on Facebook and having other people not leave first. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I'm just so stubborn and I'm a douchebag or whatever. It's because I have appropriate, reasoned, evidentiary responses to every fallacious statement that they make, and I make them look like a frickin' idiot every time they open their frickin' mouth. Okay, and so they leave because they don't like being treated like that. They don't being treated like the idiot that they are.
Yeah, how dare you not respect me? You know, what kind of bullshit is that?
How dare he?
Yes, how dare he? But there is more and more people now, you know, speaking this way. And, you know, I was talking to a man here the other day, and he said that about me. He said, you know, you're a very brave man to stand up and do this. And I said, I'm simply speaking the truth, for God's sakes. That's what we all should be doing.
It does take bravery to do that, though.
Well, now it does, but if we all started doing it, we'd all be prophets.
But then none of us would be brave. What is it? Hey, is that like, are you only brave by comparison to a coward, or is bravery bravery and cowardice is cowardice no matter which way you slice it?
Yes, that's quite true, brother. And there seems to be no shortage of cowardice these days.
Yeah. Well, I find, what are we talking about? I've seen so many films where one man takes on the enemy by himself and takes them all out, you know, because he's brave and he's powerful and he's skilled and he can beat the crap out of them and shoot them from a freaking long distance away or whatever.
Rambo.
I think that people have begun to believe that because it's on a movie that it's not real, you know?
Right.
That's not true, actually, because this is the lesson of history. It's always one person who takes out the bad guys, man. One person who got the skills, who won't back down, who's brave enough and stalwart. I remember Andrew Jackson, probably one of the coolest presidents of the United States.
Yes.
And I think this is not only a lesson of history that is both very interesting, but it's also quite mystical in a way. Because on his deathbed, he was asked, what was your greatest achievement in your life? And he said, I killed the bank. And he did.
Right.
Greatest achievement he ever had in his life. The bankers didn't like that. And here's the most important part of the story, I think. The banker sent an assassin that had two single-shot pistols, broad daylight, and they both misfired.
Good.
You know, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you walk right with God,
yes,
something works out in the end, inevitably.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but it almost, David Icke has said the same thing. He said that, you know, that nobody's going to bother him or come near him because, you know, I think David Icke is really one of those people of the light. I mean, I think he's one of the greatest truth seekers on the planet, and I have a great deal of respect for the man. But, you know, like everybody out there, I mean, I'm putting out my books and things like that. And by the way, they are doing quite well. We get them out as ebooks right now, and you know, they're available on our website. But, you know, we've had so many good responses about the books. People are enjoying them. And right now on Pabstite Radio, through Indiegogo, we're doing a fundraiser so I can actually get the books out into paperback. Because I keep giving the money away that it generates, and you know, because all the activists need money, so I keep trying to help everyone.
Yeah, exactly, and that reminds me, I need money, ladies and gentlemen, but do not donate to me unless you have already paid for your food and your rent and have taken care of your family's needs. We'll be right back. Talk Radio, it's unfortunately come to the end of the line, and we're almost out of time with Rick Simpson from phoenixtears.ca. That's something I came up with over the break. There's a lot of talk out there when people look at problems, okay, and say, like, this is the problem, that's the problem, blah, 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 blah. And then there's these pituitary retards. I think I'm being a little less insulting than I should be there, who say that, you're just talking about the problems, you're not proposing any solutions. I'll tell you what the main problem is. The main problem is people refuse to look at the problems, okay? So the solution is to look at the problems honestly and openly and then come up with the frickin' solutions. How are you going to come up with a solution if you have no idea what the hell the problem actually is? You retard.
Well, I have to agree, Vinny. The public are very good at denying reality. And like you say, look at a problem like the cancer rates. You know, why don't people understand that, you know, the cancer treatments we have today aren't working, for God's sakes? We should all realize that. The doctors know that. So it's just like you said, people will not look at the problem. And if they simply would, then they would almost have to react and do something.
Pretty straightforward.
Yes, it
is. I would have thought. But have you noticed almost everything that's really simple and obvious is the most difficult to implement?
Quite so, brother. You know, I mean, when I started doing this years ago, I thought that, you know, the medicine would be out in a matter of months because it was just undeniable. There's the truth that, you know, all through history. And yet people, they'll do anything. They try to protect the government, for God's sakes. You know, like all those people in Canada that came to me, and once they understood the truth, then they start and they make excuses for the government. You know, they got to control the population. No, you look at them and you say, you know, do you know where you live? This is Canada. There's nobody here. What population? Jesus.
Oh, that's actually the best argument for population reduction I've ever heard.
Well, believe me, I mean, Canada's like Australia. It's the big empty.
Yeah, see, like I said, if you believe that humans should be killed deliberately and not saved, then by all means, volunteer. Okay? Yes. Volunteer. I don't know. There are many innumerable ways to commit suicide. You can commit suicide by overeating. You can commit suicide by having too many vaccines. You can commit suicide by helping to work at the Fukushima Daiichi reactor, okay? There's plenty of options, ladies and gentlemen. It's open slather. Go for your life, son.
Well, there's a few things like I'd like to mention. Like I said, this medicine seems to work wonderfully on everything. But now we're having wonderful, you know, success with autistic children. Get the children on this oil. The autism just seems like the autism disappears, or most of it does anyway. So, I mean, these are very important things. I mean, if you happen to have an autistic child, you know, you're always going to love your children. But, my God, you know, look at the responsibility the parents, you know, have to bear, because a child will never be able to function properly. So why not give them a chance to have a normal life? Put them on the oil. You know, it's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, in actual fact, I heard a story one time of an autistic child, or it might have even been two brothers, and they were in a school, and one of the school teachers decided that they would tutor them intensely. Intense repetition, hardcore, beyond joking, right. You know. It takes a lot of intense education in order to get an autistic child to remember something, because I used to look after autistic children for a period of time. I know how difficult they are to teach, but I know that once you teach them a lesson, that lesson sticks with them and they don't forget it. Yes. And what this teacher did is she taught them how to speak, how to think, how to read, how to write, everything. Mm. How to read emotions, everything that autism prevents you from doing or makes it very, very hard from you to do it. This teacher, through that intense education process, actually managed to make these children more or less normal. They graduated high school with a high school diploma. They passed their exams. They went on to higher education, and they've got good jobs and all of that kind of stuff. And one of them actually became school valedictorian, I believe. Thanked the teacher profusely, because if nobody had made that effort, Right. They would be completely dependent on their parents for their entire life.
Forever. That's right. You know, there was an activist in the States, a wonderful lady, and she has two teenage autistic children. And she's talked to me several times, and she said, you know, like, I told her, I said, why don't you put the children on oil? And she said, well, down here, you know, they're so rigid about this. And she said, they test children and things like this. So she said, I don't dare. But this past summer, when school let out, she put both of the children on the oil. And she said, Rick, the difference was day and night. She said, you know, the only thing, like autistic people with autism, they don't run, they can't run properly. But she said they're thinking, they're functioning. The only thing was that they still, maybe just because they were never able to run properly, but she said they still run a little bit funny. But she's basically they're functioning normally when they're on the oil. You know, what a wonderful thing. You know, and, you know, it's like I said, give these children a chance at a normal life, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, cannabis is not going to hurt them.
Yeah. And in fact, there's been a number of cases like that where I think there was a couple who had a child that was sick. I think they had like a brain tumor or something like that, inoperable.
Yes.
And doctor said, oh, he's going to die anyway. We'll put him on chemo or whatever. And the parents were like, yeah, why don't we try the Rick Simpson oil? And the doctors go, no, that's crazy. It's stupid. And so the parents go, okay, then. And went home and gave him the oil anyway. Didn't tell the doctor about it.
Right.
And then when the next went up for their checkup, the child didn't have a brain tumor anymore. And the doctor's going, what happened? And they're just like, well, we used that oil that you told us wouldn't work. You know, it's the same story. There was an elderly gentleman at home, and somebody was breaking into his barn, and he called up the cops and said, hey, there's somebody breaking into my barn. You need to get over here now and arrest them. And the cop and the comptroller said to him, no, there's no units in the area. So he goes, okay, then, and he hangs up the phone. He waits a minute, and then he calls them back, and he says, "You don't need to come round and arrest these guys anymore because I've shot them." And quicker than you can say, "Fat Sam," there were like half a dozen police cars on his property, and then they found the robbers that were in the barn and arrested them. And they went up to the old man and they said, "You said that you shot them. I thought you said that they shot them." And he said, "Well, I thought that you said that you didn't have any units in the area."
He put them on the spot, didn't he? Oh, my God.
You know, it's great. I love little stories like that. I love these stories of encouragement. And I see so many people who are depressed because they're only looking at the negativity. They're not looking at the successes we've had. And there are just as many successes as there are failures in any movement. And if you're capable of looking at both sides, both your successes and your failures, then you can virtually never get depressed about the situation because there's an equal balance. And I think that's what people need to understand, is that you need negativity and positivity at the same time. Otherwise, you're just not in touch with frickin' reality.
You need the yin and the yang. You got to have both. I would agree. But that's the problem right now. You know, what I see in this planet, you know, there's always good and evil, but there's far, far too much evil going on right now. We've got to get it back in balance again. And I think, you know, if we just use common sense and some little bit of logic, we shouldn't have any trouble doing that.
There's not an awful lot of common sense, which is why I've renamed it Platinum Sense, because it's one of those very, very rare elements that's extremely hard to find.
You're quite right, brother. Yeah, where the hell did common sense go? You know, when you look at something as simple as what I've showed the world, and yet people, like, they pretend like they can't understand it. Or, you know, I couldn't make that medicine. Well, damn it, if you can make a cup of coffee, you can make this medicine. You know, there's no rocket science here. Christ's sake, wake up.
You'd be surprised how many people just can't make a decent cup of coffee, though.
I don't think I would. You're probably right. I
mean, when I was a student at university, I knew dudes who couldn't make fucking toast. They couldn't make 2-minute noodles, bro. It's just like, oh my God, humanity, you are in deep fucking trouble.
But, I mean, that's really what it's all about. It's just about us getting together and taking responsibility for, you know, our future and take, you know, bring back self-sufficiency. We can do this. But, you know, it's just so much easier to sit there in your ass and let other people take care of you. And I think that's half what's wrong with the human race today.
Well, they will take care of you in the end, in the mafia sense of the word.
Go on, take care of them.
Right.
I mean, you know, seriously, believing in the state and its power to protect you is like cementing your own feet and dumping yourself in the river. It's just not, it's nothing but suicide, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be freaking retarded, okay? I can't make it any more obvious than that. And if you don't get it, don't believe it, if you can't see the inherent truth of that statement, then please, as I mentioned, kill yourself. There's many options available. That's the great thing I love about our modern society with all our conveniences. It gives us a lot of different choices. My first guest has been Rick Simpson from PhoenixTears.ca. The man saves lives rather than encouraging them to end themselves after the lockdown. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Vinny. It's been a pleasure,
brother. See you sometime, ladies and gentlemen. And please bear in mind, I'm in a lot of financial stress. I'm going to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate right now.